Been praying over you guys today, really praying in the spirit. Yeah, believing that the Lord's gonna do something God-sized. He already has. He is doing it. So let's pray over our offering here. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this offering. Thank you for all that you've done for us. You're so good. You've done so much already, Lord. I thank you that you're taking us up to another level. And another level financially, Lord, another level with our health, to just more physical ability, Lord, able to do things we couldn't do before. I thank you that you're elevating us because you're a good God and you take care of your children. We bless this offering in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. Oh, okay. Well, we do have it fortunately on the screen. John chapter 16 and verse 27. We have been talking lately about, I've been sharing with you lately, about how God is our Father. And what that means, man, the magnitude of that thought. When you know God is your Father, he's not just God, he's my dad, he's my Father. That elevates your faith sky high. You say, man, if he's my Father, he's not going to let me be hurt. He's not going to let me get down. He's not going to leave me without protecting me. He's not going to, you know, let me just be turn into a big mess. He's going to watch over me. He's going to be my Father. And so we've been talking about that, and I want to give you some more tonight and just feed your faith in that area. And next week, I feel like the Lord said we're not going to just talk about who the Father is, but who we are as children of God and what benefits we have as children. I mean, children. You know, children of certain parents, they're really blessed. They're really fortunate. Well, think about our Father and how much he is. So we're going to talk about the Father. Look at this verse here. It says, for the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. It's not just Jesus that died on the cross that loves you. It's the Father. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was demonstrating who the Father was. He was acting out the will of God for us, showing us the great love of our Father. So God the Father loves us. The Father himself loves us. Isn't that, it's mind-blowing. But it's right there in the Bible. Actually, it's in red letters in mine. This is Jesus talking here. The Father himself loves you. So, okay, you don't have to wonder anymore. God, do you love me? It's right here in the Bible, right? Now, of course, I mean, not only is it here in the Bible, but he demonstrates his love to us daily, right? I mean, think about all the things that he's blessed us with. He's given you a family. He's given you a good church. He's given you what? He's met your needs. He's taken care of you, helped you pay your bills, fed you real well, got you some good clothes to wear, right? And he does it on a daily basis. It's not like long ago, years ago, God was good to me. No, today, he's still good, and he's still sustaining me, and he's still preparing things for me. Preparing things. I mean, he's looking for my future. He's looking 20, 40 years down the road. He's looking into eternity. He is setting up things just to bless us. Not for any other reason, not because he's trying to get something from us. He's just good. He's just a good father, and the Father himself loves you. So let's look at Psalm 103. I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight that will just feed your faith. Psalm 103, let's start in verse, how about we start in verse 12? How about we start in verse 11? Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. That's high, don't you think? I mean, okay, the ceiling's high. That's a lot of mercy right there. But way up into the clouds, into the stars, you had a measuring stick. This is how much God's mercy is towards us. Great. He's rich in mercy, it says in Ephesians. Lots of mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's far away too. Do you know that any of the things that you have done wrong in your past, they are removed from you. They're erased, they're taken away, they're gone completely. Remember how the other verse that says that he's thrown him into the sea of forgetfulness? I mean, gone. Not only does he forgive you, but he forgets too. And that's nice, huh? He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Gone. Gone. That means there is not one single sin that the devil can accuse you of. The devil says, oh man, you missed it. You've blown it. God's not going to love you anymore. You're just a mess. And you're just not going to be, I mean, maybe you just get like a half blessing now. You won't get the full blessings like God wants you to have. But if you just say, ha, too late for that. Jesus already got all the blessings for me. And it's all mine. Too bad, devil. And if, you know, sometimes if those negative condemning thoughts come in your heart from the devil, and he says, oh, you're lousy, you're low life, you're a bummer, you say, nope, I'm not going to listen to that. I won't accept any accusations from the devil. And I'd say, thank you, Lord, I'm righteous by the blood of Jesus. I am totally white inside, clean and pure. Precious blood of Jesus. And if, you know what I think is that a lot of times when symptoms and sicknesses try to get on our bodies, right along with that package that the devil sends is an accusation. And so sometimes something will come and you'll feel this pain or you'll feel this problem and you'll have this thought at the same time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember when you said something bad about your neighbor over there? You're suffering for it now. I'm serious. A lot of times when pains and sicknesses come, that accusation is accompanied with it. Yep. And if you refuse to accept an accusation, then you'll also not have to take that sickness on you. You say, nope, I'm free. Jesus' blood cleanses me. Put up there 1 John 1:7. It says, for if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that word cleanses is not, it doesn't say he will cleanse you, like in the future. It didn't say he did cleanse you in the past. It says cleanses. That's the continual present. Woohoo! I love that word. Cleanses me from all sin. You have a waterfall of forgiveness. You have a waterfall of forgiveness that just washes everything that tries to get on you away. It's the blood of Jesus. Cleanses you. Amen. That was not in my notes, but that's good preaching. Praise God. Okay, verse 13 here. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. So and pity is like has compassion. His heart goes out for his children. You know, if his child is hurting or he's going through a real hard time, his heart goes out to him. Like as a father would do that for their children, so our Father does that for us. His heart goes out to us. He's a good, good father. Matthew chapter 7. Wow, my Bible turned right to it. Must have been here several times. Matthew 7 and verse 7. I know you know this one. This was the red letters. This is Jesus speaking here. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Man, you know, there's a lot of religious people that would say, yeah, you might, you know, pray and ask God for something, but there's no guarantee that he's going to give it to you. Well, this is Jesus speaking right here. And I don't see anything like that in here. It says, ask and it shall be given you. It doesn't say God will, you know, it's hard to give stuff to you. But look at the next verse. For everyone that asks receives. Everyone. That's his children, right? We're his children. He's talking to us. If you need something, ask him. He will give it to you. Everyone that asks receives. I know you've heard this before lots of times, but it doesn't hurt hearing it a bunch of times more. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. So, man, that's really positive. That's, you remember the statement that absolutes build faith. If you say, sometimes God heals, but sometimes he doesn't. God doesn't always heal. You won't have any faith whatsoever. How could you go to God and say, I believe I receive my healing right now? You wouldn't have the confidence. If you feel like he doesn't heal everybody, he only heals some people. But if you believe what the Bible says, that he heals all, that he heals all of our iniquities, he forgives all our iniquities, he heals all of our diseases. You read the word Jesus, when he was on the earth, he healed them all. That gives you confidence. That's an absolute. And here we have an absolute. Everyone that asks receives. Does that include healing? Yep. Whatever you need. And the next part, it says, whoever seeks finds. Now, that reminds me of Hebrews 11, verse 6, where it says, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So sometimes you just have to diligently seek him. If you went back to Matthew 7, let's do that, and we're in verse 8, it says, actually, verse 7, put the amplified, because it kind of shows the verb tenses. No, it doesn't. Oh, yeah, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently. It's not like you're being vicious. Give me my blessing, God. No, it's like, knock, knock, knock. It's still me. I'm still here. I'm still asking. I'm still seeking. I'm not giving up. And you keep on at it, and the door will be opened. And so it's a keep on doing it, diligently seeking him. Sometimes we don't get what we need from God just because we haven't really pursued it. You get what you really want from God. Do you know that? If you really want something bad enough, you will go and get it from God. You will fall on your face before God and cry out for it if you really want it. Some people don't get it because they're content where they are. Or, you know, they can tolerate the pain. It's tolerable. So you just put up with it, you know, right? But if you say, that's it, I am tired of this. I am going to get my healing, and I'm going to get the financial blessings and success that God has prepared for me in the Bible, I'm going after it. You'll have it. I mean, God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You diligently seek him, you will see the answer. 2 Corinthians. Oh, wait. We're still back in Matthew. I didn't finish there. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? So if your child says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread, please? You say, here, have this stone.
It lasts a long time.
Just need to be tough, you know? Being hungry is good for you. Toughen up. Here, have this rock. I mean, no father's really going to do that. What if he asks for fish? You give him a snake? Give him a serpent. I know you wanted fish, but have a snake, ha ha ha, you know, and get him with it. That's awful. There is no father that really cares about his children that would ever do something like that. And, I mean, we're humans. God is the God who has created fatherhood. He's the father of all fathers. He's the one that showed what a father is. I mean, all fathers on the earth are patterned after God. The Father. Amen. Got some power there. He is the great father that we are all patterned after. You have to turn it down or no? What? It's just like it's gotten sensitive all of a sudden. Yeah, I probably just need to turn the volume down. It's kind of booming a little bit. And there you go. In verse 11. Turn it to mute and then back on. Still kind of there. It was doing that the other day, wasn't it? Last week. We'll go with it. If, verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? How much more? We said that last week. I mean, if you give this many Christmas presents to your children, God's like mountains of presents. You know, how much more? It's just amazing how much more he will do for us. Shall I hold this? Helped a little bit. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 3. You know what? While we're turning there, I was thinking how it says how much more will your Father give to, you know, those that ask him? How much more? Do you remember Romans 8:32? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall I not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. The Father, if he gave... We're going to have to talk to John about this, huh? If the Father gave us Jesus, there's nothing else he would hold back from you. Whatever you need, whatever it is. Lord, we need a good speaker right now. A good microphone. Fix it. Nope. Yeah, this thing is really loud. Tim, don't you want to turn it down? Turn the volume down on it. Oh, okay. If there is anything that the Lord, our Father, would say, no, 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 that's too much. I can't give you that. It would have been his son, right? But if he gave us Jesus, he'll pay your rent, right? He'll pay your insurance and taxes and all those other things like that. If he gave you Jesus, what's a $200,000 house? Jesus, his very son, right? Right? God, if there was anything he was going to hold back from you, it would have been his son, and he didn't hold him back. He gave us his very best. So there's nothing that he will withhold. It says in Psalms, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so he says... He will also freely give us all things. That is a good dad. Now, you know, he's not going to give you all the things that you need until you're able to handle them. You know, if you're asking for a sports car and you're only 12, right? It's not quite right. Or if you're only 8 and you want a big shotgun or something, you know, a good father will definitely bless you with all as much as he can. That's the thing. As much as he can, he wants to bless you.
Yes.
Norval Hayes said that God loves to bless his children, but he can't sometimes because as soon as he starts blessing them, people leave God and they go off and do their own thing. And thank you. So God wants to bless us, but he has to get us to a place where we can, where the blessings won't hurt us. And so he'll test our hearts. He'll see where our heart is, and he'll see, you know, can I trust them? You know, he'll give you a little bit. Can I trust them? Aha, I can trust them. And they keep their integrity, even though this happens, you know. And he keeps testing our hearts, and then the more he can trust us, the more he just pours out his blessings. And there's nothing he will withhold. He'll freely give us all things. God is a father. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. That's verse 15, the next verse. The whole family. Did you know that we are a family? The church is not just a dry, cold institution. It's not just an organization. We are a family. This is my brother. I use my husband too. But that sounds funny, doesn't it? I married my brother. No. We're brothers and sisters here. And Jesus, yeah, in Christ. And Jesus is our big brother. He's the first of many brethren, it says. Firstborn among many brethren. And so he, imagine that. This is a big family in heaven and on earth. It's huge. God has lots of children. So you know that family that's on TV with 20 kids or something? They like stuff like God likes it. You know, lots of children. My dad is one of 134 grandchildren. Yeah, he has 134 cousins, right? First cousins. Close to 200 now? Yeah, could be. He's Amish. He was Amish. He's born again now. So if you like a big family, you're right up there with God. Got a big family. Stay back here. Okay. No dead spots allowed in this place. Okay, so God is our Father. That makes a difference. We're not just his workers. You know, the angels work for God. But we are his children. When I was working at a dentist office here in town, long time ago, I was a teenager, The dentist had two children. They were kind of young, maybe like 5 and 7 years old. And I'd be busy working, sanitizing, sterilizing, setting up, you know, cleaning up, and putting the patients in the chairs and taking x-rays and doing all this work. While the son, who's only 5, was sitting beside the father, watching his father build crowns. I wish I could sit there and just enjoy watching him work. No, I'm the worker. I'm not the son. But now, when it comes to God and we're the family, we are the children. We get to watch God at work. We get to enjoy that relationship with him without feeling like slaves, right? We're not slaves. In Galatians 4:7, let's see, we're in Ephesians. Back up. Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, when he says son, it's not just men, it's men and women. So, sons and daughters, we are children of God. We have that sense of sonship where God is our, he's our father, not just our boss. He is Lord. He is God of all the universe, right? But he's God to the world. He's daddy to us. He's daddy. And so we get to see him as a father. In John 5, verse 18. John 5, 18. Praise God. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath,
But he said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Jesus said, God's my father. That elevated him to a place where he wasn't just a peon. You know, religion will put God way up there, and he'll keep us as little worms in the dust, crawling around. We have no life. We're peons, nothing. Religion paints that kind of picture. But Jesus, when he came and he demonstrated the love of the Father to us, he brought us in union with God. It's not that we are trying to bring God down to our level. He came down to our level. He entered into relationship and covenant with us. So we have this amazing dynamic relationship with the Father. It never happened in the Old Testament. The Jews were just servants of God. But here, when Jesus bought us with his blood, and then his nature, of God's nature, came inside of us, we were born of God, born of him. We have his very nature, just like our children are part of us. We're part of God. Awesome. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus said unto Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. This is after he rose from the dead. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So now, it's not just Jesus' Father, it's our Father too. Isn't that awesome? We have just as much rights of God being our Father as Jesus does. Man, I think it's something I have to just ponder and just chew on this. How can that be that we have, that he is our very Father? Did it, or God did it. He did it. Praise God. In Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, if my mother and my father forsake, my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So even if you don't have good father in the natural, even if your natural parents forsake you, turn their back on you, like my dad's father did to him, he completely rejected him, cut him out of the family, said, I never even had a son by your name. Just shunned him. God will never do that. Even if your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. And he's still our Father. In John 17, 23, this good one here. John chapter 17, verse 23. Jesus was praying here to the Father, and he says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. That the Father loves us just like he loved Jesus. Think about this, right? If he's our Father, won't he provide for our needs? It's wrong to say he's my Father and then to turn around and also say he doesn't care about me, or he doesn't want to take care of my bills, or, you know, he's not going to feed me. He just doesn't ever take care of me. It's contrary. If you say he's my Father, you can't say he won't provide for me. That's what a father's main job is, to provide for their children, to take care of them, to nurture them, to make sure they're protected and safe. There was a friend in Turkey, Larry and Kay Mills, the missionaries in Turkey. They have a family there, and the father is Muslim, and the mother was Filipino, but she became a Christian there in Turkey, and she had three children. They're all teenagers right now. And so the father went to another country, left, just abandoned the family, went to another country, and got another woman and had another family over there. So, I mean, just totally abandoned and just went out. So the older son was now turning 18, and he's decided he's going to go to Texas to Christ for the Nations Institute, which is a great Bible school, and study for ministry. You know, because the three children are born again, saved, and working in the church, and the mother's, you know, great. Well, wouldn't you know how the devil would plan it, that about 3 days before the boy is leaving to get on the plane, this father shows up. They hadn't been there for how long? A couple years? Hadn't even been around for a couple years. And he shows up, just like the devil would plan it, you know. And he starts going on a rampage and going crazy. And he didn't even know his wife and the three children were born again, saved, Christians. Oh, man, he was irate. He was going crazy. And so he tore up the tickets for the boy to go on the airplane. And fortunately, it was only the in-the-country flight. The one from Istanbul to Turkey wasn't torn up. To Texas, I mean, Istanbul to Texas. Yeah, or America, wherever he came. But so this father, evil father, full of the devil, chased this boy all the way to Istanbul airport across the country. I mean, it's like 14 hours drive. That was crazy. Anyways, you think of a father like that, you think you better be dead. You'd rather be dead than have a father that's like that. That father is not providing. That father is not one. That's a heathen, okay? That's one that does not know anything about God, doesn't have the nature of God. And and if you look, you know, even though, okay, so he's the worst example of a father. But the boy escaped the father, just like Indiana Jones. You know how he just narrowly gets underneath the door before the whole wall comes down, you know, and just, he escaped and he's made it over here and he's going to go to school. But even the father, let me see how I was going to say it here. Even if it wasn't that, okay, that's the worst case scenario. Help me out here. I'm trying to get this out here. Okay. But even, okay, forget that. We'll come back. 1 Timothy, let's go there. Chapter 5, verse 8. Yeah, you're ready, huh? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, now you're talking about fathers here, families taking care of each other, and especially for those of his own house, your own family, your own children, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So if someone doesn't provide for their children, it's worse than this Turkish father that you know, is just full of the devil. Worse than that. Now, think about this, okay? God, out of his own mouth, these very words, would condemn himself if he said that these, you know, these fathers are, you know, worse than infidels because they don't provide for their own. If he did not provide for his own, he would condemn himself by these very words, right? He is going to provide for you. I want you to just take a nice big sigh of relief. He's going to provide for you. You know, the Father knows what you need of before you even ask him, right? In Matthew 6, it says, knows what you have need of before you even ask. He's already thinking ahead. I mean, we're aware that Rachel is going to need school clothes. She didn't even know it. She's just playing with Barbies, right? She didn't even know. And so one day she puts on her clothes. Ah, it's too tight. Okay, so we'll put that to give away. Ah, these are too tight too. Okay. Then she tries on her shoes. Ow, they're squeezing my foot right here. So she's just done this whole growth spurt. Outgrew everything. I mean, we gave a huge amount of clothes to the other little girls in the church. But we weren't even surprised by that. We were ready. We knew back to school was coming. We were going to have to get her some new clothes. We knew she was not going to stay size 6 for the rest of her life, right? We were planning. We were ready. We knew we were going to have to buy her some clothes. But she didn't know. So before she even asked for some new clothes, we already were ready. We were already planning it. We already had it in our minds. We were already looking for what deals we could find, where to go. God, your Father, He knows what you need. He knows what's coming up better than you do. He knows what you need, and He's providing it for you. He's making provision. He's preparing things and setting them up months in advance before you even think about needing it. Before you even need your next car, He's already thinking about where how He's going to get it to you while you're still driving the car you're in now, right? Before the next bill comes or something else surprises you, He's already aware of it. It's going to be there. Dan was talking to a couple that was going to get married, and the groom or the fiance guy, he was really worried about the finances, how he's going to pay for the wedding, how he's going to support a wife, you know, family, we get a house, right? He was worrying about all this. And so what was it exactly you said? Let's get Dan's participation here.
So he's thinking about the honeymoon and the different expenses involved around the wedding. So I said I was praying for him, and while I was praying, the Lord said, he's getting married? Really? This is the Lord talking to me. He said, are you serious? He's getting married? Oh, boy. Well, tell him I'm not prepared. I didn't set anything aside for him. I didn't realize he was getting married, you know, in a couple weeks. So tell him I hope he's got it already situated for him. You know, the Lord saying that to you, you're going on vacation? I didn't know that. I could have set something aside for you, but I didn't. The Lord doesn't do that.
He already knew way ahead of time. Yeah, when you told him that, he laughed too, just like we did. Because it's so silly to think that God didn't know. God didn't know about it. Okay, now let me tell you this. If I were sick and I knew that my dad, my natural dad, could heal me, I believe he would. If he could, I believe he really would. My natural dad, right? Maybe you can't say that about your own dad, but I mean, just think about just a natural dad. If I was sick and I was hurting and I was really going through it and I was at the hospital and whatever, and my dad could heal me, I know he would. I mean, he's just a human. But we're in the family of God now. I mean, let God be the dad you never had, right? He is the Father to us. And Psalm 68:5 says, He's the Father to the fatherless. How many fathers do you know that it's their will for their children to be sick? Say, that pleases me. I'm so glad you're sick. I'm so glad you're hurting like that and you can barely walk. I'm so glad. That just pleases my heart. No, the only person that would say that is somebody full of the devil. Right? Because the devil's the one into pain and torture and crazy stuff. Anybody that's got their senses about them and does not have a demon in them, they would never say such a thing. Actually, the opposite is true. If children were really sick and going through treatments and having all kinds of operations and things, the parents' heart would be breaking apart for them, for that child. They would say, oh, I wish I could take this pain for them. I wish I could be in their place and be sick instead of them. That's the true heart of a father, isn't it? That's God, our Father. God, our Father, is just like that. He has made provision and taken care of us. It grieves parents to see their children in pain. And God the Father would be out of sync and out of character with all that we know of fatherhood if it was his will for us to be sick. Absolutely no God does not want you sick. He does not want you in pain. He doesn't want you suffering. He doesn't want you afflicted. He doesn't want you tortured and tormented with anything of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. We know that. God doesn't even want you to be barely making it financially, where you just have half a nostril above water anymore and you're going under, right? God doesn't, it doesn't please him for you to be there. He's a good father. There's no father that wants his children to just be destitute and poor and begging out on the streets, begging and not have a place to live, right? A good father would set up their children, get them a place, get them a car, get them work, get them college, get their college paid for, set them up in life, set up an inheritance so they can bless them and make their life easier for them. That's a good father. That's our father. Our father is preparing some things financially. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God right now. He's preparing some things financially for you, and you're going to step into them soon. You're just going to walk right into it because your father is preparing things for you. And your health, he's working on it. He's getting you to where his the anointing and the truth of his word can get into you, the revelation that you need so that you can stand against the devil. You'll have the ability, the authority to stand against the sickness. He's getting you the truths, and he's getting that to you. And the anointing is here. And just for us to tap into. God, our Father, is preparing some good things for us. He's a good, good Father. Amen? He is a good, good Father. Let me see if there's anything else before we go here. No, we'll come back to that. All right. If there's something that we need, how about just close your eyes right now? Open your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, I receive right now from the hand of my Father. I receive right now. I receive. I believe I take it right now. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for abundantly providing for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing anointing. I believe I receive it right now in Jesus. Thank you for fixing those broken relationships, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for wisdom to know what to do. You're a good Father, and you have provided all we need. We ask and believe we receive right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to dismiss you, and if you need prayer or you need something to talk with us, anything, we're available. Have a blessed night.